Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
No. Roderick.
Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
It's opinion. I respect your opinion. Maybe in your opinion, Messi is better than me. But in my mind, I'm better than him. I do it again.
Absolute quality intro song. I'm Si. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation, the home of Rodri Giggs on football. We are here for a flying visit this evening as we fly through a few different subjects. But as always, I'm delighted to be joined by former FC United, Bangor City, Salford City, Aberystwyth Town, Mosley. I can't think of any more. Mr. Rodri Giggs, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. You?
Yeah, man. All good. All good. What can I say? Getting ready. Getting ready. So we're going to fly straight into it, mate, because we're a bit of a flying visit today. I want to start with... Right, we'll start with United, because you're a United fan, isn't it? United Liverpool, mate. I thought that there was some big positives. There was some the usual worries. Tell you what, I would say straight away, bit of a take for you. I know Rashford's injured now, but if he wasn't injured, I would drop him for Antony for the next game, because I think Antony has shown in the last few games he's just offering more than what Rashford is. Ultimately, would you agree with that or not?
I thought he was better against Liverpool, but he should blow out every game. Yeah, I couldn't disagree with you. Well, Anthony's got better, and Garnacho is obviously scoring and doing well. You could put Anthony on the right, Garnacho on the left, where he likes to be. So, yeah, but it's good to have options now. Competition, health, that's what you need. Make people better, right? If you don't play, he's on it, he's playing. So, And that might make Marcus Rashford better. So obviously, it's working for Anthony because he's, you know, he's obviously wants to be playing and showing that when he comes on. So, yes, yeah, good all round. Problem with going forward now, I thought before Hoyland got injured, Rashford, Hoyland and Garnacho were kind of working.
Yeah.
We haven't been beat for all the start of the year. So we'd had a good start, but when Ireland got injured and obviously a couple of defeats, and yeah, the world's gonna end again. But you know, we should be used to this now. You know,
it's inconsistent, mate, isn't it? And
it's inconsistent. But, you know, if anything about Manchester United, it's always highlighted and always talked about more because it gets more clicks.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Like Chelsea are having a much worse season than United, but.
No one gives a shit about Chelsea.
Yeah, that's it. But do you know,
Manchester United is the club that people love to hate.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and that still remains the case now.
Ruined everyone's childhood, didn't they? So, like,
a few damaged pros out there as well. Yeah, it's right. But it was a lot better. But you know, should be every week that.
They've got the same problem, haven't they? That they're having to, without Martinez and Shaw, they have to play like a deep, low block. The attackers are forward, and there's just a huge gap. And I think that's going to be the problem until they can bring in players to move the defensive line higher up. I think Harry Maguire has been a lot better. He's a bit too ponderous on the ball for me. Like, he just gives it away sometimes. But then I saw, interestingly, like, we're going to talk top 10 attacking midfielders in Premier League history later. And I saw a lot of criticism for Bruno in Saturday's game. But, like, he obviously scored a phenomenal goal. I think he was the only United player who takes that on and executes it so well. But he also saved United about three or four goals at different points. At one point, he took a corner. Garnacho had it on the edge of the box, loses it. And Bruno ends up being the last man to get a ball.
Yeah, no, I've seen that. That's for me, when I've seen that, that's him taking responsibility instead of being, you know, kamikaze running about, chasing keepers about. You know, secure what you've got and have a, you know, and be more defensive minded. Because he's got the energy to do both, to be honest. But yeah, it was a good showing because sometimes he's erratic in there. He's running all over the show and he's whinging people out come with him. Mate, there's no need for you to go there.
Yeah, it leaves gaps and teams will take you apart. Do you think he'd be better alongside Mainoo? Because God knows what's happened to Casemiro, but like, I see Mainoo isolated so much on his own. I wonder if United would be better with Bruno deeper alongside Mainoo, and then, you know, like Mount or Ahmad or someone in that attacking position, because then he can bomb about a bit and he can do what he does with the, you know, he can press everyone and he can kind of move around. But possibly,
at the minute. Because he's so good at attacking and you'd want him up there, but I can see him probably ending up there because he's got good range of passing, he's got good left foot, right foot, left foot, long range, either short or long with both feet, and he's got good energy. So he just you know, if sometimes he's erratic with his tackling, diving in and giving fouls away in bad areas. So, but we're experienced that. Probably he'll end up there.
Yeah, Hoyland suffers, doesn't he, when Bruno goes deeper or on the right. Like, Hoyland really seems to suffer. And I don't think Hoyland's quite up to speed again after his injury. You can see he's a bit off it. But, I mean, he does give him balance.
And he's like 20, 21 years of age. You expect this kid to hit the ground running from where he's just been. He's going to have slumps, and people need to appreciate this and understand it. He's still a young kid. Yes, it's a big prize for you, and I get it and all that, but you know, he's not had the experience as Haaland. Haaland was playing for Dortmund. Yes, he was playing for Atlanta last season. What?
Same as Mainoo, mate. Like, he's 18. He's only played, like, 20-odd games.
Yeah, Neil.
I saw a few people saying, like, or just before the Liverpool game, they were saying, you know, Maino, he looks a bit off the boil against Chelsea. And I was like, he's 18. He's just like, he's the first name on the team sheet. And he's having to carry that midfield because everyone keeps leaving him isolated and leaving him on his own. And I just think, Jesus, like, he's got to give him time to grow. And
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When he's playing as when he's being exposed on his own, there's nothing you can do. 3-1, 4, you know, 2-1 in that midfield area. And I thought he was excellent against Liverpool, scores a cracking goal again. And I gotta say, I thought whilst Liverpool, you know, should win, they had the chances to win, they didn't do what they should have in the first half. But I also thought United were good value for a draw in the end. And I think it was a really good game again. And, like, all right.
This is what I'm saying when people say, oh, it's going to be 3-1, 4-1. It's still Manchester United. And if it could have been. But, you know, it could easily. Well, like, I remember the amount of times we were going for there, I think it was 98 or 99. I think we might be going for the treble. And we drew with them 1-1.
Yeah.
Yes, they had an okay side. But even when we were dominant, you're still not going to guaranteed to win these games because they're so difficult and charged up. Anything can happen. Someone can, you know, yellow card, red card. We've seen it. Michael Owen first 10 minutes. Gary Pallister, boom, stamped on his foot. Red card, he's off. Yeah. Game changes. Things like this can happen in these games. So, sure. But Liverpool, but if you have your chances in these games, you have to take them. Otherwise, you know, these teams will come and bite you back in the arse eventually, because they have got quality on either side.
And Klopp hasn't beaten United this year, which is interesting. But just the last thing on United I wanted to put to you is, so a lot of people, pundits, and like they get a bit hyperbolic, don't they? And they're all like, oh, this is the greatest Liverpool team of all time. And they've been, you know, it's been said a few times under Klopp. But in Klopp's reign, so if you think like this is supposed to be the Liverpool team since the 80s, like the best one they've had, and this is United's worst period since probably the 80s. Yeah, United have finished above Klopp, I think it's 2, maybe 3 times in that period. And, you know, this season, Liverpool haven't beaten Klopp.
Right, so, but who says it's the worst from the 80s?
Well, if you look at it just from a statistical point of view.
Well, statistics is the best. They've got the best win percentage.
Generalities, isn't it?
You need to be more specific,
then,
don't you?
Pre-Fergie to post-Fergie, effectively.
His win records still, if you're talking about stats, I'm not a stats kind of guy, but if you're going off stats, then he's done okay. If you go off Klopp's first couple of seasons, Arteta's first couple of seasons, he's better than all them. So, it's different at Man United. You see the spotlights more, just like as I pointed out before. But it's not been good. It's not been good. Them gaps in the middle of the park, it's just like, what is going on? But, you know, by the time that he likes taking risks, but I just don't think he's got the players to do that at the minute. So you have to adapt and kind of evolve. But we'll have to wait and see if how it plays out. If he gets the last four, like I say, if he gets the fifth spot and wins the FA Cup final, I think he'd be fine. If he doesn't, he could go.
It's interesting. So I like to ask you every couple of weeks about if you keep all...
My personal view, I would give him another year.
Yeah, I would let him see out his contract and say to him, next year, we'll see how you do.
The place he went to, Ajax, it took him a bit, and he turned that team around. He went to Ajax, took him a bit, and he turned that team around.
Look at Arteta, mate. He finished.
This is a bigger task. Third year in. Let's see where we're at. He's had 2 years. Is this his second year?
Yeah.
Is it his second year? Yeah. He's
been in the job 18 months, isn't it?
Yeah, so his first year comes second, new players come in, doesn't do so well, a lot of injuries, but still could sneak the Champions League and can finish with a cup. So that's not bad with some...
Yeah.
Well, some questionable players still.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? You can't get rid of everyone in one window, and he's still in the process of trying.
Plus, it doesn't help when you're spending 150 million and they're sat on the bench.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're your players. Yeah. And you've got another 70 million who I can run quicker than, and I'm 46, 47, 40, yeah, 40s. I can run quicker.
Yeah. And then you've got players who've been on the bench, in the medical room all season. So it's, you know, there's loads of reasons. I text you just after Bruno scored on Saturday, and I said, every time United try and play properly at the moment and defend properly and that, they seem to make a mistake or they give away a penalty or they struggle. Every time they just embrace the chaos, they seem to do better. So I said, the rest of the season, he should just embrace the chaos, mate, and just play Antony left back and just play like a basketball game and see what happens.
Just think that's being silly, isn't it?
I know, mate. It's like tongue in cheek, I guess.
You watch second rate football and you're just being silly.
Well, we won this week. You didn't. So, you know, what can I say? But
it's just in mid table fodder. We're going for things. Absolutely.
Going for what? What are you going for? Mid
FA Cup semi final. Where's Cardiff City there? You're going to reach the playoffs. Can't even beat your local rivals.
We beat them already this season.
Oh, but when you need them.
Yeah.
Sorry. So, listen, lads, you go out, and no one's done this in 100 years, you go out and do that and you get absolutely pounced on. Come on.
It's poor, mate. I got to say, it's... I think Coventry might win the FA Cup semi-final. Come back to me, mate. Come back to me after the game. On the penalty from the Liverpool game, talking about that, I thought it was an outrage. I thought it was never a penalty on Sunday. And then to see... So Elliot gets the ball. He knocks it to the side. And then he throws himself into Wan-Bissaka to cause the contact. And I understand people will say, oh, yeah, it's a penalty. He's gone to ground. It's his own fault for going to ground. But Elliot knocked the ball away from him and then threw himself into Wan-Bissaka to make the contact. And then in the Champions League, then in the Arsenal-Bayern Munich game, I'm watching that, and Saka, instead of scoring an open goal, tries to win a penalty. And I'm thinking, what the fuck is he doing? I don't understand that at all, mate. Like, at least with Elliot, he wasn't going anywhere, so he's initiated the contact to get the penalty against United. Like, Saka, just go around him and score. Like, I couldn't believe what I was watching. And then listening to Martin Keown and Rio Ferdinand saying, like, it's a penalty, and I just, like, why can't you criticise English players? Because that he should have just put it in the net. Like,
did they give them the penalty?
Nope. It was a good decision by the referee. Absolutely.
It's not a penalty. I didn't watch the game, obviously. I was away.
Yeah.
I watched the City game.
Did you see the one earlier in that Bayern game where it's a goal kick and
that's a penalty. Yeah,
100% that, isn't it? The Arsenal keeper's got it. He puts it down for the goal kick. The referee blows his whistle. He passes it to the centre back. And he picks
don't
it
care
up.
If it's, if it, don't care if it's a children error, it's a schoolboy error, it's a penalty.
Yeah, and the thing is, apparently Tuchel asked the ref, why didn't you give a penalty for that? And he said, oh, it's a slip of the mind, it's a kid's mistake.
It's a penalty.
You can't pick and choose the rules.
Not that playing on the schoolyard, it's a penalty.
No. Absolutely, 100%, mate, 100%. I thought Arsenal played really well. And I thought, I tell you what else, I thought, considering how football is these days, I thought Harry Kane was lucky not to get a red card. I don't think it was a red card, but in today's climate with VAR and if you raise your hands and stuff like that, I thought he was lucky not to get a red card. Because he goes to hold him off and he catches him with his elbow in the face. We've seen some ridiculous red cards over the last couple of years. So I thought he was a bit fortunate. I thought Arsenal played pretty well. let himself down a couple of points defensively, and then teams like Bayern Munich will punish you. Simple as that.
Like I say, I was watching the other game, so I don't really take much notes. I was watching the Real Madrid Man City game, so I didn't much watch it. And like I say, I usually I'd watch highlights stuff, but I've been on sunbed all week in Cyprus. So I've been relaxed.
Tell me about the Madrid City game then, mate. What did you make of that?
Yeah, it was good. It was obviously end to end. Madrid were worthy 2-1 winners, but 2-1 leaders at half time. But then City deserved, could have easily won it in the end. But it was a good game and sets it up now for the City, the other game at City, massively now. So yeah, it's still 50-50. You still probably give the advantage to City because they're at home. But you know, it's Real Madrid there. Jude Bellingham was not really non-existent, so he might show up this week or next week. Sorry, so yes, it looked good in the end, the second half. They looked really good, but Real Madrid looked good as well. They could have made it 3-1 with Vinicius Junior's gone in one-on-one, basically the key, but it's over. He could have made that 3-1, and it made it a bit, you know.
Camavinga.
Yeah, Camavinga, yeah, very good. They've got a very good young side, mate. And they've got Cruz and Modric sprinkled in there, but you know, the captain, the right back. But they've got a very, very good young team, and quality next year with Mbappe and who else? The young Brazilian kid that scored against England.
Yeah, Rodri.
Yeah, so yeah, they're going to be decent.
Do you know? What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. With Bellingham, mate, like, I saw some highlights of it, and a couple of times it looked like he held onto the ball a bit long and tried to dribble instead of passing in the area and stuff. But again, how old is he? He's like 21 or something. Like, he's young, mate, isn't it?
And he's going to make 20 goals this season. Yeah. So
crazy, mate, isn't it?
Yeah. The problem is, mate, the expectations with these players, you just got to miss what I mean with people getting giddy with Manu. You know, just yeah, he's brilliant, but you know, he's going to have these players, going to have these dips, things that people, all of a sudden, when you're walking down the street, noticing you, people following you, lots more pressure. It all takes its toll.
Look at what happened to Bale.
Luckily, this kid looks like he's got a good head on his shoulders, but
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things and pitfalls that come on the way, so you just got to bear them in mind. He's 18 and Bellingham's 20, living in Madrid, scoring 20-odd goals. And probably City have said, you know, every time he gets this ball, let's have one or two round him and put a bit of pressure on him. And so they've probably done their own work as well, but I'm sure he'll turn up in the next game because he's, you know, he's top-notch.
Do you think we see City and Arsenal make the semi-finals?
I fancy Real Madrid and I fancy Bayern Munich.
Okay.
Actually, no. I do fancy City. That's just my
your bias.
Yeah, being biased. I still think City favourites. I think City. It's all for them to lose, really, but because they're at home. Yes, Real Madrid are a good side, but so Man City. But I don't see Arsenal getting result at Munich.
Enough, mate. Reese says, what did you think of Madison's punch? VAR checked it and they cleared it completely.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, I gotta say. I will go and I'll see if I can get it now. And bring it up. So we're gonna talk because we are having a bit of a flying episode tonight for a variety of reasons, but what we're going to do, mate, is we are going to talk the top 10 best attacking midfielders, number 10, whatever you want to call it, in Premier League history. Obviously, and we'll do our predictions then as well then to finish. We're going to fly through these a little bit quicker than what we normally do, mate. Who have you got at number 10?
That's not a punch.
I don't.
You are. Who've got number 10?
Yeah, who've you got number 10? It's so many you can pick from.
Yeah, I'm not really. not really done my own with this one. Like I said, I've been with Sunbed all week.
That's it, mate, isn't it? I've gone with them. I've gone Dwight York, mate, which I think will be controversial because people will say, oh, he was a striker. But in the treble winning season, he played more as like a deep, like number 10 sort of striker.
Well, I'm going to go. You go
20
on.
Odd assists, 20 odd assists, 20 odd goals.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go. Only played limited games in the Premier League, but, you know, he obviously provided all the goals for Andrew Cole. And I'll go Peter Beardsley.
What a shout there. That's a great shout, mate. I like that. Like that one. That's a good one. My number nine, I'm going, it's difficult. I'm going to go number nine, Yaya Toure. Mate, good quality attacking midfielder. There was a couple of seasons for City where he was like unplayable and just goals and assists. Having that all day long. If you take your blinkers off, mate, you see it. He was proper. Who have you got, number nine?
Proper winging it here. Peter Beers.
That was a good shout, mate. That was.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm here for that. That Paul McGrath was a great shout, and you just totally ignored him. You forget about these good players, you see, because only played limited games.
You get the recency bias.
Number 10s. I'm going to go Gianfranco Zola.
Good shout, mate. Good shout. Good shout. I like that one.
No, it should be. Probably should be a little bit higher.
No, I think that's a...
I'm
going to
go Zola, 10. Yeah, Zola.
Zola,
you 10.
Zola. So my number 8. Oh, I'm trying to think now. Who have we got? I'm going to go... Like, I think really, you have to put your brother in as a winger, don't you? I don't think you can have him as a
no.
As a 10, like, or as an attacking midfielder.
No.
So here's one for you, mate. JJ Okocha.
See, now I would think, now you've just said that, I'd have JJ Okocha 9 and Zola 8.
Okay.
So I forgot about JJ Okocha. He was a skillful, very good player. Could have played for top side as well. No disrespect to Bolton.
No.
Even though it's where I rest my head, Bolton are not a big club, hence why they're in League One.
The thing is, this list is obviously, one, is subjective, two, is never ending, and three, we're doing it on the fly. So, we're going to miss players out and stuff like that.
But it's our list. Everyone's got the same list.
Number 7. I'm going to go Cesc Fabregas.
What's that number? What?
7. It's mad tricky, like doing it on the fly.
No, who was your number 8?
Who did I have? So I went Yaya Toure, didn't I? Who else do I have? Yaya Toure, JJ Okocha. Who was the first one I said? Can't remember who it was now. I can't remember who I've said.
See what I mean? You can't even remember.
JJ Okocha. Who did I say? JJ Okocha. Yaya Toure. I've said another one as well. And I can't
Dwight York.
Dwight York. Just, that was frying my brain, mate. That was then. Jesus. Yeah, so we're on number 7, basically. 10, 9, 8. Yeah, number 7 we're on.
So number 7 I'm going to go with...
Fabregas, 7.
I'm going to go with Joe Cole.
Joe Cole is a good shout, mate. Good shout, that.
Joe Cole.
So number 6, I'm going to go with So I'm going to go with, recency bias. I can't decide which order to put these two, but I'm going to go with David Silva as number six.
I'm going to go Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, just that was the two I was trying to sort out.
I'm going to go Bruno Fernandes. I'll put Silva fifth.
So, like, with the reason I went for, like, Silva over Fernandes was just, like, Fernandes, when he came in to the Premier League, just was just unreal, the assists and the goals. But I think I put them both, like, almost neck and neck. Like, Reese makes a good point there. He says Ozil on his day was absolutely quality, but his consistency alongside, like, a David Silva or a Fernandes is not there.
Yeah.
So number five, mate, who you got? I got Frank Lampard.
Did I not say David Silva, number five?
All right, okay, yeah. Number five, I got Frank Lampard, you got David Silva. Number four?
I'm going to go Eden Hazard.
That's a real good shout, that one, mate. Number four. Really like Joe Cole. Number four, I'm going to go Gerrard. Number four.
Yeah, I haven't got Steven Gerrard in my list.
He's one of them, isn't he? Because he's going to come up in box to box. He's going to come up in...
Yeah, so mine's Paul Scholes.
What, number four?
Number four, yeah.
So my number three is Eden Hazard.
Mine's Dennis Bergkamp.
Nice.
Number three, sorry.
Yeah, I should have had Bergkamp in my 10, really. That's annoyed me. I would have added, so I would take out probably Bruno for Bergkamp.
Not Dwight York.
Yeah, Dwight York as well, mate. So number two, I've got Wayne Rooney, mate.
I've got Frank Lampard.
I didn't put Luka Modric in mine.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
But he should be in it.
No, he shouldn't.
Do you think he did a lot of his best work? I think he did away from the Premier League.
Correct. Didn't win a tap at Tottenham.
No.
Yes, he's a very good player. But he didn't win a tap. Well, maybe won a Carling Cup. But yeah, no way be near the top 10 Premier League. No. Now, if he had a career in the Premier League like he did at Madrid, then he'd be top five easily.
My number two
is Frank Lampard. 200 odd goals. Yeah, it speaks for itself.
I had him earlier, didn't I? So my number two is Rooney. And then my number one is Paul Scholes.
My number one is Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, I think it's fair, mate. I think, for me, like, Paul Scholes is the greatest attacking midfielder the Premier League's ever produced. And I will, like, die on that hill forever and ever and ever.
That's a bold statement, that.
And I know, you know, I know there's people...
Well, the last 10 years of his career, he didn't play that.
He did, though. I suppose he did.
Oh, he didn't. Oh, he didn't. I can tell you his career. When he was a kid, he was a centre forward. He played centre forward a lot of times, but then just he put him back in that, and back. Hole. And, you know, good players can play anywhere. You know, his tackle was a bit rash, but yeah.
I bet Rooney.
I'm not going to argue with it. Everyone's got, but yeah.
Yeah, for me, Wayne Rooney's the greatest.
Lampard scored over 200 goals from that position, so
yeah, I accept that 100%. And like, that's
why as a complete midfielder, then that's why Paul scores is number one for me.
But then also, I rate Rooney as the greatest Premier League player as well ever. So
that's a bold statement as well.
Like, and I get it. Like, I get that there's Thierry Henry's and there's, you know, all these different players. Just personal taste, mate. And like, for me, like, Wayne Rooney was so consistent from 17 to whatever he was when he retired. I just think, like, he was special. But then, you know, your brother did exactly the same, mate, you know, in terms of...
At the minute, his footballing career gets so... And people go, why is he still good? Well, no, I'm not... That doesn't affect me, all that bullshit. I've got over all that now because appreciate the football career and the disrespect this player gets. At 17, he was a phenomenon. No one broke through at 17. It was men playing in them days, and you get kicked to foot. Yeah, and then to finish and to stay at United, he didn't go to Red Bull, didn't go to DC United, he just finished United. The disrespect this guy gets is frightening because there's no better player in the Premier League in my eyes. And people say, oh, you're being biased. Maybe. But if I wanted a career, I wouldn't want a career like Wayne Rooney. 16, and then over at 34, bounced around from Derby to America to I want to play for Man United for my 24 years and win almost every year.
Can't argue with it, mate. And I completely agree with you, man.
Like some dickhead on Twitter the other day, it's wounding him up, and I didn't realise how much fucking traction he got. About 8 million fucking views on it. So some geezer just put up, with like 10 games to go, Bukayo Saka's got a better
I've seen it.
Goals than rank. That's why I just put like all our kids' medals and just put good luck, Bukayo. And the people, you know, it's just, and then they're getting abused. It amuses me. I was going through it was so funny. So,
you're right, mate. The disrespect he gets because of. Non-football.
Because people are scared if you mention, oh, he's a bad human being, or you're bad. I'm not talking about that. Football. We're talking about his football career.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Period. But even ex-pros and...
Yeah, just, they all ignore him, don't they?
The disrespect, because he's a mute and doesn't speak out or doesn't do anything, I'm happy to speak out. And I'm name names as well. There's so many... Jamie Carragher, oh, what a bellend. The disrespect... that you get that gets off some players is,
and from players who didn't achieve even like even a quarter of what he achieved, and they've got the nerve to like the disrespect.
Embarrassing. Can I win over 30 odd fucking major medals? Turn it in, you dickhead.
And so, let's be
when you clear, say like, that, when you say Wayne Rooney, I was thinking, wait a minute, it's Wayne Rooney. Fucking 11 years.
Ryan was my favorite.
I could double that. So it baffled me. No, in America, it'd be lauded as the best. But Tom Brady's not the best football player because of his stats and his longevity. But, you know, he's a good human being. So maybe
that's. No, wait. I 100% agree with you. And, like, I'm Team Rodri all the way, mate. But, like, you just said, like, all that shit, like, you're over that.
Fucking like 13, 14 years ago.
Shit. And we're talking about football. And it's like this guy played from 17 to what? 41? 42? When did he retire? How old were you when he retired? 40?
Oh, I don't know. So he started in 91 and finished in 2013. 2003, 2004, I don't know.
Yeah, mate, it's anyone the lot, mate. And
yeah, so I was winding Arsenal fans up, which is relatively easy. They're all fucking stupid, aren't they? So then I get the abuse, and it was good fun. All good fun. I've been laughing at all, you know, some dickhead YouTuber influence fucking screenshotting something, and then, you know. So I
love it on Twitter.
I do love it. All that bullshit. Are you wife? It's 14, 13 years ago. Have you not been anywhere? Like, are you like fucking pure dough from doing an advert from it, you'd have come. Do your homework. Fucking stupid. So, yeah. Anyway.
He was 40.
Wayne Rooney, top 10, top of my top 10 list.
Right, we've gone over our half hour, mate. But 8 minutes over.
That's my little fucking 3 minute rant. That's why, probably.
That's all right, mate. I'm clipping that up. Please. Send it on the Twitter, people.
Yeah, all them Arsenal fans, Bukayo Saka could waste fucking Ryan Giggs in boots. Please do me a favour. Even someone's complaining to Phil Foden the other day. Fucking Bukayo Saka is the best of a bad bunch of wingers in the Premier League. Post that. And fucking stamp it. A bad group of wingers. Please. Some of these wingers from back in the day were playing in this system. Fucking they caused riot. Just even like a David Chinola, it was brilliant, but they caused absolute riots.
Yeah, mate, 100%. The standard of wingers that was out there in the late, like, 90s, early 2000s.
Mark Overmars. Andrew, I could go on and on of top-class wingers. And now...
They were everywhere, though, mate, weren't they? The wingers, like, you had top-class wingers at Newcastle, at United, at Blackburn, at
Liverpool. Now you've got people like, you know, Marcus Rashford, you know, open a gate, he'll run through it. Lift your head up, mate. You can see where people are and you can pass the ball.
Yeah. Right, mate, as always, an absolute pleasure. I got a chip I have. So we'll be back next week and we'll be back to full length episode as well.
In a bit, motherfucker.